brand new site of Procratics Down, just finished, spanking new, looked the part. Dara was there, he was talking to the guys, talking to the engineers, getting really excited. What are your plans? Are you going to do a phase two? The County Council were involved, they're part of that scheme as well. Yeah. And I said, this is a really good guy. This is a guy getting stuck in.
He's a good guy, but you know how many people will pick up the idea of a minister being close to developers and that. And many of the opposition parties claiming that they were lobbied extensively by developers in regards to the current affordable housing bill that's going on. And people expressing the fears that the bill reflects more what developers were lobbying for than it does for what the citizens of this country need. But listen,
I think you have to go back a little bit though, because people have to realise you're not going to get houses without someone to build them. At some stage, somewhere, the apple has to get onto the tree.
All right,
and
okay.
And how do we do that? If we cut everybody down and say nothing to do with it, the houses don't build themselves.
All right, they don't build themselves. You're right there. Listen, thanks for that. And also, indeed, bring you that good news about the progress made in relation to the acquisition of the site for three Selbridge schools, they being St. Patrick's National School, the Community College, and St. Raphael's in Selbridge as well. Hopefully those schools will see further progress in the interim as well. James Lawless, Fianna Fáil TD for Kildare North, chairperson of the parties of the Government's Justice Committee as well, I believe the Oireachtas Committee. Thank you for joining us this morning, James. Good morning.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ciara. Coming up, Senior Executive with Kildare County Council, Mario Corrigan, on the Decade of Commemoration's newest publication about the War of Independence in County Kildare. We're heading to the Naas Municipal District with Councillor Shamie Moore, back to Clane Maynooth with Councillor Paul Ward, Crime Time with Garda Sean O'Mahony of Athy Garda Station, and Pat Lynch, a listener from Kilcullen, will give us information on Kill's Olympic boxer Colin McCoy, who fought and lost to Cassius Clay at the 1960 Olympics. Now catching up and seeing your messages. Owen, we'll move on there maybe with Mario in just straight after I do the messages, please. Clem, those cuckoo funds, what somebody is saying in regards to this now. These cuckoo funds will have the effect as the famine, same effect. They'll drive young people to the four corners of the world, paying rent to the absent landlords, says James in Selbridge. Thank you, James. Mary says, regarding the John Lawless interview, more hot air, I say. Well said, Clem, you nailed it. And in terms of, Clem, just one question, is there any reason as to why the councils cannot build houses? Yeah, they mightn't have, you know, you need specialised construction firms now. And that's the key thing in regards to that. Stop living in the past, James. Your party is a disgrace, says another. Clem, good interview with James Lawless. It's simple. The government politicians are not qualified to run the shop, never mind the country, says Jack. They're in it for the... well, no, in fairness, they're not just in it for the pay and the pensions, Jack, but I take the point. Ultimately, the responsibility comes back to them. A crisis is something that happens for a short period. I honestly think the housing crisis is an ongoing policy by Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil. Michael Noonan invited the Vulture Funds into Ireland wholesale back in 2011. What's he doing now? Clem, listening to James, the Fianna Fáil TD was like listening to John Delaney, who came into the council towards the very end of his career. The curtains fell and the truth became clear, like people are seeing about the government's housing policy in relation to that now. Clem, please play something happy and cheerful for Liam Lally in Maddenstown de Corra. He's 76 years young today, a proper gentleman. And another listener says, finally, for the moment, developers, bankers, builders and politicians are all in one another's pockets. The Micheál Martin said he wouldn't go into government with Sinn Féin, but he went into government with Fine Gael. And there was one email that just came in there. I think it was from Janice, who said that she sent an uplift petition yesterday to all Kildare TDs, including James Lawless. Only Raida Cronin and Catherine Murphy have replied. Okay, I'm going to move on. I'll try and get a bit of music in. I'm trying for quite a while. But I want to keep with our timeline first. And Senior Executive Librarian with Kildare County Council, indeed very active on all these publications, is Mario Corrigan. Good morning, Mario.
Good morning, Clem. How are you?
I'm very well. Good to talk to you again. Now, your latest publication concerns a timeline of the War of Independence in County Kildare, 1919 to 1922. Tell me a little more, please.
Yeah, basically, I mean, when we were growing up, we used to call them chronologies or whatever, but it's year by year, date by date, so it's a kind of blow by blow, if we could dare to use that kind of term, for the War of Independence in County. article there. So as information came through to the local media, through the local newspapers, and that we recorded every single instance that we came across. So it's interesting to people with a general interest in history, and of course students always in search of a Leaving Cert project or whatever. So we're hoping that we'll get a good uptake on it.
Yeah, and I'm looking at some of it. You've produced a lot of publications throughout the year as such, and physical copies of the book will be available from the 25th of this month. But meanwhile, people can download it by going to kildare.ie/library, etc., can they?
Yeah, it's really weird. I mean, we've decided that we'll make it completely free before we actually have a book in our hands. And, I mean, that's the whole idea. We're in a lockdown. People need distraction. People need something, you know, to get their teeth into. So what it is if you go on to kildare.ie/e-history, E for electronic history, you can actually download it for free and just onto your computer, onto your device, and it's completely available to you. On the 25th of May, come the commemoration for the burning of the Customs House in 1921, we're actually going to make it freely available to people. We'll put it in all our libraries. People can actually arrange a session in the library, go in and collect it, and we're also going to give it out to all the local history groups and so on, completely free, and this is our way of saying thanks to people for their support as well.
And you're also going to distribute copies to secondary schools around the county?
Absolutely. I mean, every single year we have, you know, requests from secondary school students for a project for the for their special project for their history exam in the Leaving Cert. So it's ideally based for them, but for everybody, for the teachers and whatever. A lot of teachers come in from outside the county, so for them to actually get some good grounding on the history of the county, I think it could be proven valuable.
Yes, indeed. Now, it's important to point out to people, look, it's not an absolute in-depth, as Mario just said, account of everything that happened. It's more a timeline. And yes. I see, for example, on your site, aside from that Peerless Punchestown, which is the stuff that Liam Kenny has contributed to our virtual walk history series, which is
proving
so popular with everybody in regards to that. I'm just looking at the site, kildare.ie/e-history, where you'll find out all about this particular timeline. Because, Mario, there were a lot of incidents in the county, not just in the War of Independence, but in the even into the Civil War and that, but particularly in the War of Independence.
Yeah, and you know, we get kind of left out of the great narratives because people talk about the big battles and whatever, but we were always interested in the social history. So, as well as that, you have, you know, Nora Connolly, James Connolly's daughter, coming to an event and speaking in Nace during this period. We have a football match in Arsenal in England where you have Irish jockeys versus English jockeys, and the money that was raised went to the soldiers, the blind soldiers' home, and also to Drogheda Memorial Hospital. So there's really, really great, you know, facts and events that occurred. And it's not all about the guns and the bullets and things like that. But, of course, the substance of it is to map the actual War of Independence as it happened in Kildare. And I think people are going to be very surprised with just how active Kildare was.
Indeed. It's authored by Mario Corrigan, James Durney, also very familiar to listeners of this programme, and Kevin O'Kelly, along with Kevin Murphy and Carol Kiley. A timeline of the War of Independence in County Kildare, 1919 to 1922. And a reminder again that you can download it free of charge if you go to the, what I told you earlier on there, the contact, what's the website
number? Kildare.ie/e-history, but we're on Facebook and Twitter. You know, if people just Google the Kildare, County Kildare Decade of Commemorations, or contact us, you know, I mean, there's never a problem. Contact the libraries, we'll get the information and we'll make sure people get copies.
All right, and physical copies available from May 25th, and you can go to your local library and everything. It's another great, and do you plan, I know I don't want to jump you too far ahead, do you plan to do something similar for the Civil War?
Absolutely, but we're not going to leave it so close to the wire this time. We're actually starting work on that one now shortly, so we will absolutely have one out for the Civil War as well.
Well, I have to say you've done fantastic work, because I know that you've been active at this kind of work from 2015, and you've worked on all sorts of booklets in World War I, 1916, and now the War of Independence, a timeline of the War of Independence in County Clare, 1919 to 1922. Either pop on the website that Mario just mentioned, kildare.ie/ehistory, or call into your local library and they'll tell you more. Mario, thanks for that. Well done.
Clem, thanks as always. Thanks a million.
Not at all. Well done to you and your fellow authors in relation to that. I think I'll play a bit of music now. I was going to do that a few minutes ago, but Mario had a pressing schedule. Here's Sting and Fields of Gold. Nice, gentle song. Loads more to come in the programme. We're heading to the Naas Municipal District in a couple of minutes' time. Taking us up to the break. Coming up next, we're heading to the Naas Municipal District for details at yesterday's meeting. Councillor Paul Ward of the Clane Municipal District with motions there. Crime Time with Garda Sean O'Mahony of Athy Garda Station. And then Kilcullen listener Pat Lynch and his association with Olympic boxer from Kilcullen McCoy. Oh, some very interesting stories on that particular last feature. Stay tuned, and I'm hoping to get my wonderful poem the listeners on air today as well.
Kildare Today with Clem Ryan.
Now, keep your messages coming. I have a few to catch up on, which I'll do very shortly. But first, independent councillor on the Naas Municipal District, Shamie Moore. Good morning, Shamie. And thank you for joining us. Now, Shamie, let's start with the first of your motions there, which was an interesting one indeed, given the current controversy around housing. You want the Naas Municipal District members and officials to agree to sell the land bank of 8 acres, which you say is lying idle and undeveloped. Where, Shamie?
on the northwest side of Naas. It's only about 750,000 metres from the town. It was originally bought by Naas Town Council way back in the 1950s when they went away from collecting a pail system around the town to a town sewerage system. So there were two fields in it. One had the treatment works, and it appears on maps like a shamrock in that semicircular type of things together. And then the other field was for filtration. And that went out of use about 25 years ago. We went to Osborstown with sewerage.
Right, okay. And what was the reaction to your motion?
Well,
why has the land just been left there lying idle when we're crying out for publicly owned development land to build houses on?
Well, there's a process in relation to all housing, and basically the government would supply the money first to buy a field, and then later on they supply the money to build the houses. It takes years for that type of thing. This particular land was going through a filtration time over the years in question, and because it was in the ownership of Naas Town Council, it transferred silently to Kildare County Council after 2014, and I had great support trying to identify the lands to County Council officials because nobody seemed to know much about it.
So you're telling me that there's 8 acres of land there, that there seemed to be a deficit of knowledge around the availability of that land?
That's one side of it. I approached them some time ago that they might consider using it for what I call a municipal grounds, like Dublin County Councils have, which are used for big sporting events, for any particular sporting group. We don't have a large-scale sporting grounds in Naas, and we're heading for a huge town population, and we need to have a very substantial-sized town-featured sport ground where everybody could go for the big event of the year, whatever it might be,
okay.
GAA, or it might be soccer, it might be rugby.
In terms of that, I know you were specifically mentioning in the context of that 8 acres that it'd be provided for sports clubs and teams and events and that, but I noticed also the meeting, among the reports that were at the meeting, was in regards to the Naas Municipal District vacant houses and categories of work. In total, there are 5,051 houses under the remit of Naas Municipal District. Vacant properties requiring refurbishing, 29. Vacant properties requiring minor works, 36. Vacant properties awaiting allocation, 6. 1% of the total vacancy stock the total stock of 5,000 plus is vacant. Vacant houses have been completed since the March report, none in Athy, 2 in Selbridge Leixlip, Kildare Newbridge 1, Clane Maynooth 3, and in Naas 1. Maybe I should correct myself there, because that stock of 5,051 is not the number of houses in Naas, it's the number of houses countywide.
Correct.
Under the remit of Kildare County Council. So, again, just to remind people, 29 vacant properties around the county require refurbishing, 36 require minor works. These are vacant houses, which could be reallocated to people, and vacant homes completed since March, none in Athy, 2 in Selbridge Leixlip, 1 in Kildare Newbridge, 3 in Clane Maynooth, and 1 in Naas, a total of 7. And vacant houses added since then, 5 vacant houses have been added in Kildare Newbridge, 4 in Clane Maynooth, 3 in Naas, none in Athy, and Selbridge Leixlip, a total
of
12.
Every one of those houses probably dates back 30, 40, 50 years. And when the council, it's handed back to the council, they have to upgrade the electricity, the kitchen type services and everything, so that before it comes back on issue, that the house is up to the standard of any new house coming on the market.
And just to finish off there, by the way, extending beyond the town of Naas and the immediate area, one house in Kyledove needs major refurbishment, 4 in Naas, 2 in Salens, and minor, 4 in Naas, 2 in Salens. So works on those. What's the delay in refurbishing houses, Shamie?
Contractors and tendering and that process, and then the tooling up and when they're ready to come in to do it. It's not the council repair unit that sort of does all this work. It's contracted out, and it must be on an open tendering system, that type of stuff. Plus, somebody must do a survey as to what actually is to be done. It's procedural, and health and safety plays a big part in it.
All right. Shamie, what's that motion about? You asked the council be provided with free legal advice by what you call a non-vested legal advisory company on the council's attempt to overturn a legally binding Part 8 roads decision made previously by elected members.
Well, the council would always have retained legal advisors that they would use, and if you were looking for legal advice because you felt that we say official them was putting something across on you, you'd prefer to have the advice from somebody else other than those who are closest to the official. So we have had a road called the Gallops and through the race course, and a lot of controversy about a proposal to run is as an extension to the ring road system through that particular housing estate, and a lot of public opinion against it apart from those who live there. And it came before council members in 2019, and the members voted down, 6 members to 1, and it's now being brought back up again by officials in the local area plan, and it's going to put councils under immense pressure. And it's not fair that it should come up a second time, because it divides a good working council between, you know, across something that should look at in a different way. They should look for an alternative route through that area. It's the northeastern corner of the town.
Right.
There's ring roads brings around, and there are options, and they were put to us about 7 or 8 of them, and the number 2 option should look at more closely.
And briefly, Shamie, on this one, because time getting away from us, you had a motion in regards to what's called, how will I describe it, as one nace area for one weekend in every month to support and create a litter-free zone to exemplify the people of Nace.
Yeah, we have a major problem with littering in our amenity areas, our high amenity areas, and Nace is not the only place. We have a society that's divided pretty much on the basis that we have one part of society does not want littering anywhere, and the other part of society just keeps throwing everything away. And there's a high dependency and a high expectation that the council would clean it up. And I don't think that's fair.
Okay.
I think society should work together, and so should the council and everybody else, and adopt one area, do it once a month, show us up as being good Irish people. Like, Australia has a great character for a clean country. We should be the same.
And I see where, by the way, the environment section in the report say they'll support members of Nace Town Council.
And they did, and the members supported it yesterday, and the officials supported it yesterday. So we're on the way to select a particular site and go for that over a period of time.
All right, before I let you go, we have Pat Lynch talking about Colin McCoy later on. I believe you have a couple of details you could add.
Well, Pat Lynch is a very old friend of mine. I did a bit of associated work with boxing clubs years ago. I was the representative of Leinster Council. I mentioned a guy called Lugs Brannigan. It was in Lugs Brannigan's.
I remember him, a guard, yeah.
He was some guard, yes, he was, yeah. And a high reputation for solving problems in a very physical way. But, Pat Lynch also was a very, very, very excellent coach for all boxing in Kildare, along with people like Paddy Aspel and another man called Lynch there as well in Kilcullen. They're a great club. Colin McCoy started his boxing in Nace, and then as he got better at it, he transferred to a more prominent club.
All right.
His interest. And Pat Lynch also would be associated with the Sleeve Naman vehicle, as is associated with Michael Collins.
Michael Collins and that as well. Okay.
You can get a few words in from him on that. He's a very interesting character and a very nice man.
All right, thanks for that indeed, Shamie Moore, independent councillor on the Nace Municipal District. I'm looking forward to the chat indeed with Pat Lynch in about 10 or 12 minutes' time. But first of all, let's head back to the Clanmanute Municipal District and Fianna Fáil councillor Paul Ward. Paul, you asked the council for an update on the taking in charge of Royal Meadows Estate in Kilcock.
That's right, Clem. God, Lugs Brannigan. I remember my father talking about him.
given that we can't defame dead people or get sued for it, Lugs was famous for solving problems with maybe a clip in the ear.
That's right. My father was brought up in Clanbrassil Street in Dublin, and I'm sure crossed his path a few times.
Yeah, indeed.
Absolutely. No, in relation to Royal Meadows, that's actually the estate I live in myself. here in Kilcock, and it's a 20-year-old state that's not yet taken in charge. There's been a couple of legal issues. And as a result of that, there is legislation that exists there where residents themselves petition the council for the taking in charge. And I was working along with the Residents Association here in Kilcock, and we petitioned the residents, and we got the requisite numbers. And we made an application directly to the council for the estate to be taken in charge, and I was just seeking an update on that. It's a Section 180 application, which is the mechanism that is used when the building company is not in existence anymore or issues like that. So as you can see from the report, it's a positive. The Kildare County Council engineers, along with Irish Water engineers, are working on site to prepare a site resolution plan, which is, as it sounds, just to prepare the site for taking in charge. And they're essentially making sure that the sewerage, the drains, the water issues are all in good shape for the council to be taken in charge. They also finish the work in relation to the estate with the creation of a snag list, something like when you're buying your first house, and the engineers have been around as we speak completing the snag list. Once that is complete, they submit a request to the bond holders for monies to be released from the bond in relation to the estate, and they will be repaired, and then hopefully in a couple of months the estate will be advertised for taking in charge. Excellent. And then the residents can enjoy the benefits of what that brings to the estate. Just finally on that, the Boyle Meadows estate is essentially an estate that has a true role for four or five other estates in the area that have not been able to be taken in charge as a result of our delay. So that will mean the Hawthorns, Baker's Walk, Chambers Park and Uctorani estates hopefully will follow on from this. So it's good advancement on that one.
All right. And in regards to a speed review analysis of Church Street in Kilcock, what is that going to happen?
Yes, it is, Clem. Yeah. I asked the council to undertake a speed review here. I received directly a number of representations from people who live on the road and who operate businesses on the road in regard to speeding. Now, it's a long stretch of road. It's about a kilometre. And we have had issues with this road before, and we have had a number of solutions. There was traffic lights essentially put in halfway down the road to accommodate cars coming in from the Summerhill Mead direction. And we've also installed a speed calming traffic island outside Abbey Field Estate in Kilcock here. However, I'm still persistently getting representations about the speeding, and the best way I'm advised by engineers is, look, let's put on the traffic survey, let's see the detail and the results of that survey. It's, you know, when you put the strips across the road and you can kind of monitor over a 48-hour period, whereabouts is the speeding problem. And then when we get the results of that, we can review and have analysis then of what we can do. We've just finished works in Connick Street. We've narrowed the road, resurfaced it, put an additional footpath in on the back of a speeding review there. So there are options for us to undertake that. And, this will happen now in a couple of months.
Well done. Good work, Paul Ward, on both those aspects of the estate and the speed review as well, all focusing on the area of Kilcock. That's Paul Ward. Well, we're going to move to Crime Time in just a moment, but I think I'll take a break first.
Crime Watch on KFM.
With Manguard Plus, Ladytown Business Park, Naas. We keep it secure and safe 24 hours a day. 045 408 300.
Okay, and we're joined by Garda Sean O'Mahony of Athy Garda Station. Good morning to you, Sean.
Morning, Clem. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. We're going to a lot of burglaries. Kildare Town, Selbridge, My Valley, Broadford, Athy, Selbridge again. And let's begin then with that burglary in Kildare Town, Sean.
Yes, Clem. On Thursday the 6th of this month, between 7 and 7:30 p.m. at Cherryville in Kildare Town, a lady was sitting in her house when two males entered the house and removed her handbag and its contents while she was sitting in the sitting room. So this was between 7 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. So it would have been bright outside, Clem. If anyone saw two men acting suspiciously around Cherryville, they might contact Kildare Garda Station.
In Selbridge?
Selbridge, we have Rayfield Manor, Priory Lodge, Rayfield Manor, on the 7th, Friday the 7th. And this happened at 11:09 a.m. Entry was gained through the rear sliding door, which was broken. The house, the apartment was ransacked, and a quantity of cash was taken. Suspect vehicle in this appears to be a Nissan X-Trail black in colour, an older model Nissan X-Trail black. So if anyone has any information, they might contact Selbridge Garda Station.
staying on the burglary scene, My Valley near Broadford.
Yes, Clem, on the same day, the 7th, at between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. in My Valley in Broadford, the counterparty returned home to discover the window broken and the house had been ransacked. So again, anyone with any information might contact Nace or Carberry Garda Station.
Close to home for both of us, I suppose, in this one, Sean, at high.
Yes, I have two in the same place, Clem, 2 days apart. So on the 7th and on the 9th. So on the 7th, between 6:45 in the evening and 10:15 the following morning, the Monowee Hospital on the Church Road in Athy, entry was gained, and a television and a free-to-air box were taken. So if anyone around Athy was offered a television or a free-to-air box recently, they might contact Athy Garda Station. And again, on the same premise, that 2 days later, between 6 o'clock in the evening and 11 o'clock that night, again, the premises was visited by someone. There was damage done to the rear door, and there was nothing taken at this stage, but there was someone in the premises. So again, anyone with any information might contact the Athy Garda Station.
All right, can happen any time, and just because you're done once doesn't mean you won't be done again in a short period of time as well. Back to Selbridge again for another burglary.
Yes, this was on the 8th of the 5th, and this happened at 1:28 p.m. The interparty was alone in the house and heard a noise downstairs. The kitchen was ransacked when they went downstairs. There was an unknown male standing in the door. The male is described as having black puffy curly hair, approximately 5'9", white, acne on his face and dark blue clothing. He was in his early 20s and spoke with an Irish accent. So anyone who saw, it's in the avenue, Woolston Haven in Selbridge. Anyone who saw that male, I'll give the description again. Early 20s, black, puffy, curly hair, 5'9", white, acne on his face. They might contact Selbridge Garda Station.
All right, Sean. Now, we've heard a lot about dogs being stolen around the country and the price has been paid for dogs. I've seen prices of 2,500, for God's sake. People are crazy to pay any kind of money. There's a case of a dog incident in Timahoe, apparently a very expensive dog, either decided to leave home in protest, but more than likely has been stolen.
Yeah, more than likely now has been stolen, Clem, from Timahoe. It's a Hungarian Vizsla. I sent a picture on there to own there, so you might be able to put it up. The dog answers to the name of Vicky. If anyone saw anyone with a similar type dog, they might contact Clane or Nace Garda Station, please.
What does that dog look like? What does it look like?
I don't know if anyone, your listeners might know what a Weimaraner looks like. It's a grey, a German royal dog, and this is a brown version of it. It's like a pointer, Clem.
Yeah.
A brown pointer.
I know what the Weimaraner is like. It's in the WhatsApp. Owen says, hold on a second, Sean, I'll have a look at this fella here.
So it's a brown version of the Weimaraner.
A brown version.
Yeah,
they're very smooth-haired, beautiful, very, very handsome, good-looking dogs. If you think, for example, of a pointer, except in brown. Yeah, this is a beautiful-looking dog, Vicky, of Hungarian Vizsla, missing from Timahoe. Now, obviously, this is clearly a case of a dog that's been lifted. I think she's a beautiful dog and very, very handsome indeed. Very royal looking and a brown, smooth-haired pointer, as distinct from the other colour pointers that you see. Highly intelligent, athletic dogs as well. OK, hopefully, if anybody has information on that, by the way, contact Clane Garda Station on 045-868-262. And if you have dogs, be careful, because there is big business going on in stealing of dogs and retailing them. We keep getting situation in regards to that all the time. Oh, I've just had to get a WhatsApp, Sean, saying the dog from Timahoe has been found.
Oh, brilliant, Clem.
Yeah, very good news. How quickly we solve crimes on this on the station. You know, we highlighted, maybe the person who sent in that might tell us a little bit more about where Vicky was found, would you please? The dog from Timahoe, what can we do? We can't ask for better than that, Sean O'Mahony.
Brilliant, Clem.
Garda Sean O'Mahony of Athy Garda Station, thank you very much indeed for joining us this morning.
Crime Watch on KFM.
With Manguard Plus, Ladytown Business Park, Nace. PSA licensed. 045 408 300 or manguardplus.ie.
Now, if only we could solve a number of the burglaries in regards to that as well. Let's get a couple of your messages in for a minute. KFM, has anyone ever asked how much does the council pay out in the HAP scheme every year? I'm sure it would build a lot of houses, as Breda. Yeah, Breda, I think it comes to... now, I have to be careful here. I think it might come to a couple of million over a number of years anyway. We've done that on the programme before. I can't quite recall the figures. Clement, if that's the same Mario that sang in Hayden's years ago, great voice, get him to sing a song, says an old friend. I'll check with Mario the next time I'm talking to him. Shannon says, and Niaran Diasishin, he doesn't like the particular song. All right, Shannon, sorry about that, but I love Fields of Gold. I think it's a lovely song altogether. And we'll wait to hear... The Vicky is home safe and sound, and that message came in from Moss Veterinary Hospital. The listener says they saw it on Facebook and not sure of any more information, but Alicia has told us that Vicky is home safe and well, and we're delighted indeed to hear that as well. And thank you for the message, Alicia, in relation to that one. Can please mention my special guest tonight on Care Country Interview, an audience with Jimmy Buckley and the great country singer. That's on Care Country this evening, where Jimmy Buckley will pick out some of his favourite songs by other artists, and he'll also play some of his own in conversation with Liam Kett. Care Country between 8 and 10 this evening. So well done in that. I thought Mr Lawless TD was a bit over defensive in his answers regarding the minute houses, says a listener in regard to that. Always enjoyed his fresh spirit over the years, but today on KFM I'm afraid the mask slipped a little. He was very much in Fianna Fáil mode. Well, I mean, you have to respect the fact that he would be in Fianna Fáil mode because he was elected on those particular policies. Anyway, people screamed for younger people in politics, and here we have... that case is not happening, says a listener in regards to that. Hector's, by the way, Rory in the Curragh tells us 2.4 acres... equals a hectare. Somebody else said it's actually 2.47. Well, we'll split the difference between the two anyway in regards to that. And I'll come back to some more of those messages in a couple of minutes' time, because I want to say a very special morning. We're heading to Corralawn's nursing home, and Pat Lynch is on the line. Good morning, Pat Lynch.
Good morning, Ray. And how are you?
I'm very well, but tell me, Pat Lynch.
And come here, wait, let's say, before you go any further, I'll be a great GAA follower, and commiserating on the results of last Sunday.
Pat Lynch, there was no need for that now. There was no call for... there was no call for reminding me that Antrim gave Clare the runaround in Antrim last week. But you got that one in. Pat Lynch.
Yes.
You're going on 96 years of age.
Correct. Correcto facto.
And by and, God...
And at the moment, you know that old expression, I'm not the Mae West at the moment.
Are you not?
No, because I'm in a nursing home where I should be at home. But anyhow...
All right, okay.
It wasn't by choice that I'm here. I got a touch of that old convey thing, and it went too deeply for me, and I developed that what convey chest. Is that what they called them?
You got the COVID, did you?
I did indeed. Yes, I did indeed. And sorry, I hate to broadcast, and because of the fact I went through a very bad drink, I buried a son and a sister were all within a fortnight of one another, and I developed that between the wakes of one thing and another. That's where I think I picked up this thing. Anyhow, that's my story.
And Pat, I'm very sorry to hear that, and please accept my sympathies. Your son, when did your son die? What age was he?
He was 60, early 60s, yes.
My God.
My sister was 101.
Parents shouldn't outlive their children, should they?
Well, that's always...
You know what I mean by that now.
Yes, I know, so be it.
Before people start giving out to me. And
And cherish your parents while you have them, yes.
You're an incredible guy. You're 96 years of age. You got COVID, and you're still on the planet with us.
Well, I am indeed, and I'm here drinking a cup of tea and eating biscuits now at the moment, and listen, yes, yeah.
Jeez, I can't believe it.
And hope to go be taken out for a bit of a drive in the afternoon.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm sure they will take you out for the drive. Listen, you knew Colin McCoy.
Personally.
Right, to tell listeners who might be just tuning in, Colin McCoy... Bach is from Kill. Mary Kyle told us in our virtual history walk on Tuesday.
Right. That's true indeed, yes.
And he boxed for Ireland at the Olympics in 1960, where he came up against Cassius Clay, later Muhammad Ali. But
Pat, very, very true, yes.
Tell me about your association with Colin McCoy.
Well, and the fact that we had a very strong boxing club in Kilcullen at the time, and Colum was one of the leading members. In fact, he was one of the better ones. But having said that, we also had a very good boxer in Hugh Peacock and Paddy Aspel and Christy Meaney. We had a kind of a selection, and the Brecken brothers from Naas, they all came to Kilcullen. And the fact that at Colum used to cycle from Kill, pick up Hugh Peacock and Naas, and they would come over two nights a week to train in Kilcullen. And someone said that I was their trainer. I wasn't. It wasn't even their coach, but I was one of his sparring partners, if you know what I mean.
But tell me the story about Colin McCoy living in Kill and cycling all the way to Kilcullen.
Yes, and used to pick up Hugh Peacock and Naas, would you believe? Because the Naas boxing club had become defunct at the time, and there were two brothers, Jimmy and Jack Brewerton, and they would all come to Kilcullen for the boxing sessions.
You're telling me, Pat Lynch, that Colin McCoy would cycle from Kill to Kilcullen, or to Naas. He then put Hugh Peacock on the bar of the bike,
and he
cycled all the way to Kilcullen.
That's very, very true. That is a very, very true fact.
Yeah. That was some preparation for the Olympics.
Well, it was, and the preparation was ongoing because apart from Hugh Peacock, Paddy Aspel, and myself, and Christy Meade, we were the loft in Kilcullen was our headquarters. It was a loft over a building given to us by Junior Byrne, who owned the hideout at the time, and that's where we used to do the training. But we were only sparring. Cyril Russell was the trainer, and we used to act as sparring partners. We'd jump in for and do it 2 minutes, and someone else would get out, go in, go out, and that was the boxing end of it. But we decided that Colum needed a bit of muscle building, if you get me right, you know.
Nice.
And to do that, We used to bring him up to the Curra, to Danley's Hollow, where all the undulating ground around the Curra was, and we would have him bring with weights, would you believe, to build up his muscles. We weren't able to keep up with him, but up and down those hills, maybe for an hour at the end, we would do it in order to build up his stamina. He had the boxing skills, but we felt that he was a little short in stamina.
Well, I can't believe that what preparation for to go to the Olympics, you know, cycling from Kill to Naas, putting the fella on the handlebars, cycling then to Kilcullen, and then for the boxing. He must have been a tough nail.
He was a tough nail, and he was a big six-footer, if you know what I mean, but very slightly built.
Right.
He was a cruiserweight, incidentally. He won an All-Ireland cruiserweight title before the Olympics. Yes.
And you remember him going to the Olympics, Pat, obviously.
Oh, well, sure. We had a great to-do before he went, and then we had a bigger one when he came home.
And he met Cassius Clay on his way. On his way. He boxed against Cassius Clay in the earlier rounds.
Yes, that's right, yes. And in the end, we always think it was just the stamina bet him in the long run. He was beaten on pints, but we always felt that he hadn't got the strength to go. There were three-minute rounds at the time.
He lasted the three rounds with Cassius Clay?
He did, yes, indeed.
And Clay went on to win the gold medal?
Gold medal, and went on, as we all know, he was world champion.
Ah, he's the greatest boxer of all time, I feel, Pat.
Yes, I think
he's the greatest boxer of all time.
Of all times.
He later famously threw his medal into a local river because he was so annoyed about the discrimination against black people. Has Colum McCoy and this story gone so much under the radar? I have to confess, I hadn't heard about Colum McCoy until Mary Coyle told us.
Well, now, Colin McKay was one of those gentlemen of gentlemen, and he was a very low-profile kind of a guy. He had no illusions of grandeur or anything like that. He was the most humble fellow you ever met. And as a matter of fact, we used to say there was only one, he had one big fault. He had no killer instinct. And to have boxing, you have to have a killer instinct. When, you know, if you saw your partner or your opponent in trouble, you went out with all guns blazing to do him. And Colin was never that kind. He wanted to see the fight through and through.
Yes. Right. And he died in 2010, I understand.
And, That's true. He died, and he was in the intensive care unit for quite a while in Naas. And, well, needless to remark, we could never get in to see him. And he was buried in Allen, and we were all at the funeral. Donegard of Honour met at his funeral.
What age was he when he died, Pat?
He would have been, God, no, that's a good question.
73, Owen tells me.
73.
And can you tell me, has he still got family around the area?
He has two brothers, and they have some kind of a dealership up around Dublin somewhere, two brothers.
All right.
They have a Toyota dealership somewhere up around Dublin.
Jeez, you're a fount of information. I have what a claim to fame, you know, getting into a ring in the Olympics in 1960 and going through full three rounds with Cassius Clay and Muhammad Ali. But I find the idea of going to training on the bike and giving a fella a lift on the handlebars over. How many miles is it from Kill to Kilcullen?
From Kildare, could it be? We used to consider Naas was 7 miles, yeah. About 10 miles, I suppose.
About 10 miles, indeed. Yes. Listen, yes. I think you were a bit of a rough diamond yourself on the GA field, because Liam Buckley just rang in. He said, I want to say hello to Pat Lynch. And Liam remembers getting a couple of digs from you while playing for Monaster Evan against Kilcullen.
Well, the fact, Kilcullen at that time, you were both in the boxing club and football club. So you'd done a bit of both.
You did a bit of boxing and the football field, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, hello to you, Liam Buckley. Great to hear from you as well.
Liam Buckley, I remember him well. And he was an North Street angel himself, I can tell you.
Oh, the solicitors are going to be all writing in now about it. Pat Lynch has gone for his solicitor. Liam Buckley's gone for his solicitor. Memories of times past.
Before you go, I must tell you this funny story. Colin played football for Kill, right? And hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening. Go ahead.
He played football in the Gold for Kill. And we were playing Kill in a final, a junior into mid-final. I don't know which it was. But I don't know if you ever heard of Michael Porky Lamb in Kilcullen. Did you ever come across him? No.
No.
Well, no. Well, Michael Porky is one of the great characters in Kilcullen. But he was on the Kilcullen team playing forward. Colin was in the Gold. We were being beaten by 2 points with a couple of minutes to go, and we got a 50, and the 50 dropped right into Colum's hands in the air. He was standing on the goal line, and as he hit the ground, Michael Porky ran in and gave him a jostle and knocked the ball into the net, and we won by a point. Yeah, he killed Colum, beat John Starr by a pint.
Yeah. I tell you, you'd want to be in full possession of all your senses to survive on a football field or a hurling field those days, Pat Lynch, I can tell you. To what do you attribute your 96 years, Pat?
I don't honestly know. I told you my sister died there recently, around 101. I don't honestly know, Sam, but I was always into sport. I tried my hand at everything, but I was not only fairly. I was never good at any of them. I played, got a few runs with the Kildare senior teams over the years, and I played handball and I played tennis and I done all the things that I shouldn't have been doing. And I just, it was in my genes. I don't honestly know.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If you got a few runs with the Kildare senior football teams, you were certainly handy and you're being humble. Mary Donnelly says it's uncalled that you said what you said to Clem about Antrim hurlers beating Clare, and that Clem will be very upset altogether about that. Listen, when do you expect to be released from Corralón?
Well, now that's up to, I'm getting better by the day, and the funny thing, I'm starting to get night's sleep, and I said to one of the nurses here, God, I had a great night's sleep last night, and she says that's a sign you're getting better. Yes.
Well, I can tell you one thing, Pat Lynch, you've given us all a huge lift this morning. Yes. To have had COVID and 96 years of age and to be in such fine flying form, and you're such a font of knowledge. And regarding the McCoy brothers, I see WhatsApp coming in saying
Art and John, I think.
McCoy Motors.
Yes, that's it. That's the very people. You hit your nail on the head.
McCoy Motors, they're up around Luke and there. We'll have a look at some of the messages coming in. It's wonderful talking to you.
Yeah, and before you go, Sam, I don't know if you remember, you had me on your programme some
couple of years ago.
I did, talking about Michael Collins and Slievenamon.
And the Slievenamon, yes.
How remarkable is that? I'm bowled over by Pat Lynch, 96, had COVID, and he sounds on top of the world altogether. So messages quickly before I go, because we're well over time, but you know what? I'd have talked to Pat Lynch for another hour, so hang on for the news. We'll be there shortly. Liz in Stafford says, Clem, did I hear you saying last week that you were looking for a television? Well, my pictures are still pink, Liz, and I'll hang up with that for the warm-up, but thanks for the offer. Clem, I'd like to know why Carlo Vaccine Centre is not able to cope because people from Atai have been sent to Kilkenny. No, I was sent to IT in Carlo. I don't know why these things happen in regards to that. A great outcome, says Shane O'Cossig, that Vicky is home. Thank you, everyone. A substantial reward was offered for any info leading to Vicky coming home. But Vicky, the beautiful-looking dog, is now back. And what a handsome dog she is indeed. Good morning, Clem. Lovely to hear Pat. A remarkable gentleman, says Teresa Harrison. A texter says, in regards to county councils, I'll come back to that maybe tomorrow. Jamie Moore says, McCoy Motors in Lucan. Art McCoy is the owner and the brother of Colm McCoy. Thanks, Jamie. Hi, Pat. We miss you in Logstown. This is for Pat Lynch from Barry, Michelle, Kian and Indy. Well, he'll be home soon. And finally, it was a pleasure to listen to him, says Mary Donnelly, a great, great man altogether. Well, I think he has uplifted all our spirits. I better run off. Thanks to producer Owen Beattie, Kieran Noble and yourselves. We'll do it all again tomorrow morning from 9. John Dunn is up next, but first, Ciara Plunkett in the newsroom.